Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn Audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today's topic is the human-centric finance function. And we are indeed breaking new ground here. Last week, we talked about Welcome to Finance Function 5.0. So we are indeed trying to set a new direction for the finance function. And in the past, let's say decade at least, there's been a lot of talk about machines taking over the world, or at least, let's say, taking over the jobs and the roles that finance and accounting professionals have today. But with Industry 5.0, the dynamic between humans and machines is changing, and the same will be the case for the finance organization. Very keen to talk about this topic today and say, how do we create a more human-centric finance function, and what does it mean for all of you? So I just mentioned about the last decade and rapid adoption of technology, automation, and ways of working have challenged finance professionals to keep up with the rate of change and evolving their, or let's say, your skills. As we enter this new phase, we call it Finance Function 5.0. It's about focusing on putting the human back into the equation and helping organizations to thrive. We all know there's a war for talent going on. Now we're entering a new phase. Competition for competent, high-caliber staff has never been stiffer. The global pandemic only accelerated an already exasperated situation where organizations are having to work harder than ever to attract and potentially, especially retain top finance talent. The combination of changing nature of work and expectancy that finance professionals have multiple and wide-ranging specialties outside of finance and a shortage of skilled workers mean the emphasis is moving away from pure automation to one where humans and machines work hand in glove. There was a study done, I think, based in the US, that crazy number of million accountants are leaving the workforce every year, and pretty much no new accountants coming in. So looking at how the whole finance function is developing, we certainly need to change things up to ensure we can actually keep functioning in the future, unless we want to reduce ourselves to a pure transaction processing center, which indeed the robots can handle. The focus is therefore shifting from simply finding the right people to creating an environment where staff can thrive and grow. Organizations need to think about creating a workplace culture that fosters creativity, innovation, and growth. By doing so, they'll be able to attract and retain top talent and keep pace with the changing business landscape. So why Finance Function 5.0? What does it mean, a human-centric workplace? Finance professionals need to create value for their organizations. Of course they do, but it's been one-way traffic for too long now. As the business landscape advances in workplace technology and evolving attitudes to work-life balance continue to evolve, companies need to start thinking more about how they can create value for their finance specialists. Does this sound counterintuitive? Competition means that organizations have to practice forward-thinking strategies to help their staff perform at their best. When your employees feel protected, they will, in turn, produce higher output, add to a thriving corporate culture, and be more likely to stay for longer, thereby saving on cost in recruitment and retraining costs. In short, companies need to enrich both their careers and their lives. I don't know if this means bringing back the social contract between workers and companies. I don't think so, but it certainly would speak to changing the dynamics of the relationship. So why organizations need to create value for their finance professionals? And you can extend this to any function. We don't create value for our workers, what will happen? Happier, more balanced workers are more productive. It's as simple as that. Just think about yourself for a moment. Do you do your best work? If you come in feeling low on energy, depressed with the work that you do, not having a great relationship with your colleagues and a bad leader, I doubt it. I don't think anyone would perform well in that environment. While the finance function has been focused on automation as a core part of technology adoption, and while it has brought benefits about like higher efficiency, lower costs, it's also had a role in removing the human being from the process. And this is not to say that we should put humans and accountants back into transaction processing. It's more to say that humans should take back control, be very purposeful around how do you actually use the technology that's available. Because technology can take over a lot of different things, and it should, right? So we can focus on the work that we find most interesting. What we're seeing now is that finance professionals must feel to be a key part of designing and implementing technology solutions to make sure the oversight, decision-making, and interface with machines are effective and credible, and that it actually works. Think about this. If you have implemented an RPA, so a simple robot, into some of your processes, and this is now doing the work that a person did before, but the person is still involved in the process, some would be very happy about this situation because it frees up their time. Reality, though, has shown that many are frustrated about what is their role now moving forward. And so they don't work with the machine to deliver outcomes. At best, they ignore it. Sometimes they work against it. But if humans and machines don't work well together, of course, the whole premise for automation and technology adoption falls through. Technology is great if it acts as a tool to improve the human experience. In Finance Function 5.0, using automation to handle routine tasks such as data entry, while allowing finance professionals to focus on more strategic activities such as analysis, planning, and decision-making, is key. KPMG's International Future Ready Finance Survey found that only 28% of companies reported their technology adoption initiatives as a great success. Speaking to what we just talked about, another part of the reason, at least, is an associated underinvestment in talent and skills. Because that's the other part of the equation. One thing is that something or someone comes to take part of your role away. But if you don't know what is that you're supposed to do, or if you don't feel like you have the skills to do it, of course, it doesn't work either. Despite acknowledging a skills gap, less than 10% of respondents to the joint research paper said their transformation programs focused on developing skills. Now, isn't that paradox almost? We fail because we don't develop skills. That can never be a recipe for success. Companies can adopt all the latest technologies they want, but if their biggest asset doesn't know how to use these new tools effectively, then transformation efforts are unlikely to help make their employees' life easier. Some may make them more complicated. Feel free to raise hand, share your thoughts, ask questions. Chaudhary, welcome to the screen.
Hello, this is Ahmed. Today, my question is, how would humans compete with the recent technologies, specifically artificial intelligence, ensuring their job security, and how to prevent from getting laid off?
I think that's a very fair question, Ahmed, and I think it's one that many are sitting with, being concerned about their situation. The simple answer is, and it might not be simple to do in reality, but the simple answer is, need to learn to work with the technology to enhance your output. And I guess ChatGPT is the best example that most of us can relate to today. ChatGPT is great for many things, but it's not going to sit in a room with business leaders making their decisions for them. It might be able to give them answers to simple questions, or at least ideas about them. But at the end of the day, we want to be sitting in that room, having a discussion around what direction do we take as a company? How do we solve for this particular challenge that we have right now? How do we close the gap in performance? ChatGPT is great for research, for instance. You can use it there. It's great for learning quickly about a topic. And even though it might be able to pass the CPA exam, you probably still want a human to sign the books, but the machine to do a lot of the number crunching. So we cannot, let's say, thrive or survive in today's world if we don't keep evolving ourselves and the work we want to do. And I'm not saying that's easy, but it is reality that that's what we need to do. So not a philosophical answer per se, but it's not, let's say, a simple go-do either. But you need to use the technology to your advantage rather than seeing it as something that's going to take over your job and then you're being laid off. So that would be the approach to that.
Thank you, Anders, for your answer. And it was quite near to the question I asked. Further, I would like to ask you, which is the best and recent artificial intelligence software or AI tool currently prevails in the market you should suggest us to use?
There, I'll probably have to take a pass, Ahmed. While I do follow the tech scene overall, I wouldn't say I follow it into to such details that I would know, but I guess one of the more exciting projects and advancements right now is the Microsoft Copilot. I don't think it has been released fully yet, but that's at least one project to follow closely and see how that's going to impact work also for finance professionals.
Thank you.
Thank you for those great questions. So for Finance Function 5.0, human-machine integration is not only about task allocation, it requires a new mindset and new skills. Companies need to ensure that they add value to their finance professionals' lives by enabling them to become conductors of the technology orchestra. To do this, they need effective learning and development programs and to allow users to play an active role in selecting technologies for adoption and implementation. One of the best change management approaches is to take people that are resistant towards the change that you want to make happen and involve them in the process, pointing out places where there are challenges, why it might not work, so that you can improve your approach to the implementation and alleviate their concerns and showing them how working with the new tools can make everything better. So the shift we need to see also from company perspective is a shift from mindset growth to well-being growth. Research shows that if employees feel valued, supported, and engaged, they're more likely to show higher productivity and be better contributors to the success of the organization. So by prioritizing worker well-being, companies are also creating a more productive workforce. That's why a human-centric finance function is so important. By creating a culture that values and supports its employees, companies are also supporting themselves. Finance Function 5.0 is about putting the human back into finance. By fostering growth and development, organizations can attract and retain top talent, create a more productive staff, and ensure the technology adoption programs are more successful. Don't you think it's time to move beyond the traditional, embrace a new human-centric approach with Finance Function 5.0? Curious to hear from all of you. Feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage, share perspectives, or like Ahmed, ask questions. We now have Alira on the stage. Alira, feel free to unmute yourself, give an introduction, and share your perspectives.
Sure. Hi, thank you. Yes, yeah, so I spent 20 years working for the top five global investment banks, and I've since for the past few years been running my own business. My role was client-facing for basically all of the bank's top investment managers. I was the client relationship manager. So I got to see the tech side. I got to see the, you know, the whole array of the impact front to back and all the different waves that we've kind of been through. And I have to say, one of the big observations I have around change is that in these corporate environments, and I now also work with like founders, business owners, CEOs, for example, and also those that are wanting to create well-being shifts within their own organizations, is that we need to have a very different angle on change. Is not just at this moment, from my perspective, about part of it is bringing people on board and getting them involved, which is fantastic. The second part is when we're linking in with productivity, we also have to consider that over the past few years, we've been through unprecedented amount of change. To the degree that most people, they would kind of say a life event you might have every few years, like a big event, you know, a death, a marriage, a baby or something like that. We have been going through the equivalent of being almost at war. So from a post-pandemic, people dealing with mass change, whether it's tech, whether it's their own lives, whether it's their finances, the changes in the world, that has a big effect on our ability to actually process further change, be present. And I feel that understanding trauma and the impacts of trauma when we are also incorporating change and wanting people to expand their vision, when we're in a state of like either PTSD or fight or flight, which we do need to have an awareness of, more to do with neurodivergence and our nervous systems for our team, making change needs to also consider this part of this dimension of the human. I understand many of these organizations have amazing benefit packages, but this is almost like that's too late when somebody needs that level of help. if you want people to be more productive, innovative, to come in with new ideas, you want them to start to expand and learn more things. If you are still in fight or flight and you're still under huge amounts of fear around financial wellness or losing your job or what the next change means and falling behind, it's very hard to get that full presence because those individuals are energetically, emotionally trying to deal with something else. And I feel that this is the massive gap. And I see this a lot in both individual clients as well that are, would say we're coming up to like the burnout kind of scenario. And it's a pattern. You know, we are in a financial environment where everybody is obviously aware of, you know, recession scenarios, et cetera. There's a lot of pressure. We have to be, you know, pivoting. We have to be diverse. But we have to recognize that that's great if the individual has their needs met and they are coming from a place of, you know, kind of overflow. But when they're on this level of depletion, you can see how it's much harder to manage, process, change and fear that's around it. It needs another dimension around the way that we lead. So conscious leadership, it requires new changes in the well-being, not just lip service, here's an app, go and book a yoga class, but a different dimension to understanding your workforce and really that constellation within the workforce to get the added benefits of individuals that feel that they have a level of purpose in the organizations that they're working for. I share the vision. This is impactful. I desire to be part of this change. That is deeply important. And that I feel is also another gap that needs to be kind of filled to really assist us in this rapid transformation that we're going to have over the next couple of years while keeping people healthy and retaining the experience that we need, the human experience that we need within workplaces. If I think back to some of my clients that were actually implementing robotics over the last 5 to 10 years, and they were the pioneers implementing them, robotics were generally implemented for gap projects. So before a new platform could be brought in, they would have a robot do all of the tasks that would be a waste for an individual to be doing for the year or 2 years before the main platform came in. So that really solved a really positive, you know, solution for people. You get to hand over the stuff that you hate doing, but we have to do. And there's a benefit to that. There's also a timeline ending of that. So there's varying different levels. I see in the press that a lot of people, you know, the way it's kind of communicated might not actually be what it actually looks like real world when you're on a desk dealing with it or running a project around it. It doesn't move quite as fast in most organizations to have stuff rolled out. So I know a gentleman was mentioning about losing his job. You know, I feel that things that maybe they're not going to suddenly be like, okay, next month, all of you are being replaced. Like, I just feel that everybody's experience is needed. And I've seen this as it's been rolled out over, you know, different clients that I've had when I was back in finance a few years back. And I'd love to, you know, see what your opinions are on the things that I've shared and my kind of angle versus your experience as well.
I guess, simply put, Dalera, I'm 100% on board with your perspective. And it's exactly what this idea of finance function 5.0 and more broadly, the idea of industry 5.0 is set out to solve. You know, 2 years ago, we published a book called Welcome to Finance Function 4.0, essentially talking about the current, but also definitely pre-pandemic transformation paradigm that the finance function has been working on. We're trying to automate, slim down the function and do new processes, getting new technology and develop people and everything else. And it's been a always on transformation agenda for almost 25 years. But if I look at a transformation plan today versus that of 5 or 10 years ago, they would look pretty similar. So when you're in a state of always on transformation, but see little meaningful progress being made, and of course there are root causes to that. And I think you mentioned some of them as well, there. But when you don't see any meaningful progress being made, but constantly feel pushed to transform both yourself and the function, that exactly leads down the route that you're talking about, you know, stress, burnout, and even worse issues like mental health and so on. So we need a different way to get to the goal of a value creating finance function. And I think we need to swing things a little bit back from the overly focus on technology and focus more on, okay, how are humans actually going to perform well in the future of the finance function? So fully on board with you there.
Thank you.
Jacqueline, welcome to the stage. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspectives.
Thank you. My name is Jackie, a transformation consultant from a digital marketing perspective. I'm here to just share from the perspective of the finance people that I've been consulting with. And I find that one way in which the finance people can progress to this next phase is by using analytics. So by using analytics to just tell stories, the AI chat GPT functionality, if you give it the information and you tell it to give you a story around that, it can give you a very good narrative, which you customize to yourself. People's attention to information, their attention span has become very short ever since the COVID pandemic. And people tend to look for a lot of information and listen to a little of everything. So if what you're presenting from a finance perspective does not have a story behind it that is human and touches the lives of the people you're communicating to and how they are. So for example, if you're communicating in a meeting and you're speaking to board members, you need to demonstrate what's in it for them from a storytelling perspective. So it's inevitable that finance people will learn how to tell stories, their finance stories, in a more gentle and human way. It's also inevitable that Google Analytics is a plus on top of the financial services that you offer. You must plug in the, not forget Google Analytics, but just the analytics element that the numbers tell a very clear story, whether it's in percentages, as opposed to just the true numbers as they reflect on the spreadsheets. The last aspect that I would actually encourage more finance people to do is they're underselling themselves. They're not presenting themselves on the social media platforms, especially LinkedIn, to speak about their prowess, their expertise, their achievements, the shape and form that finance should be taking in this new AI era. And above all, I think it's critical that we, besides hearing more of these stories, we get to see more of the finance events and what people are discussing in those finance events. And they only come out if we tell the stories ourselves. We went for a finance forum, this is what we learned, and these were the experts, and we feel great about it. We are not seeing a lot of those, especially here in Kenya, and I'm a big proponent of people giving their stories and enlightening more in terms of data, because AI will pick the stories, AI will pick the information, and machines will learn what we say and do. And our stories will be part of the future of AI. Otherwise, every time you put in something on AI, it's going to give you some standard kind of thing that does not speak to your context as being in Africa or context being in Asia or something like that. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jackie. And it's hard to disagree. We need to leverage analytics. We need to become better storytellers. And we need more finance professionals sharing their experiences to lead the profession towards where we want to go. So thank you for sharing that. One person that definitely shares a lot about that is Adam. We know also Adam Shilton on the stage.
So yeah, Adam Shilton, founder at Tech for Finance. So yeah, I just want to echo a couple of things, all valid points from Alera and Jacqueline there. So Jacqueline, very valid point about what we've said previously, using AI as a co-pilot there. Obviously, we all hear about Microsoft Copilot as, you know, having a chat style interface built into Excel or PowerPoint and that sort of stuff. But I think people need to think of the wider context of AI as an autopilot. So I kind of think in terms of AI outsourcing. So, you know, there are certain tasks that are really good for humans. You know, there are tasks that are really good for AI, and it's about getting that balance. So thanks for that. But the last thing that I wanted to stress, and it's something that I've struggled with personally, is on the mental health piece that Alera alluded to as well, is, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of fear mongering, you know, endless posts saying, you know, if you're not invested in AI, you're falling behind and all of that sort of stuff. And it's deliberate, you know, it's clickbait. But my recommendation, it's what I keep telling myself as well, is sometimes you've got to slow down to speed up. You know, there's no point in investing all of your time in an AI tool if it doesn't serve the purposes that you've got set up as an organization, or it doesn't serve you. So AI anxiety is a real thing. But I'd say naturally, as we see progression with other systems, we'll start seeing AI built into the tools that we use every day. So if you're not actively going out and hunting for AI tools, that's absolutely fine. You know, it will evolve. So I don't think we need to panic too much about job loss and all of that sort of thing. We just need to keep in the back of our minds that it is a thing, you know, it's very real. It's not just buzz and a gimmick. but to prescribe to the whole mentality of if you're not using AI, you're falling behind, I think is a bit of a bold statement. I think we need to not focus on that. So I just wanted to stress that because we can all end up very anxious. And yes, in my view, we don't need to be. So that's just my perspective. I don't know whether everybody agrees.
Thanks for sharing that perspective, Adam. And I think maybe having the AI tools integrated into tools that we're already using will make the change journey a little bit easier, right? So if you have to go out and use a separate tool to do a new task you used to do with another tool, that increases the resistance towards actually getting it done from many different levels. So the more this becomes integrated in what we use every day, I think the easier adoption will be. And of course, we're seeing it in lots of different applications, both in our personal life, but also, of course, beyond that. So I think it's a great point. And I think we shouldn't be concerned about AI, but naturally, if we continue to do what we've always done, it will have a consequence at some point. So there are, of course, two sides to that coin. So I want to give a great thanks to Ahmed, Elira, Jackie, and Adam for coming up to the stage and making it such a great show today. I could really feel this was a topic that people were very much passionate about. Thanks a lot, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?